very clever place to hide water. Holy God, as we come to the manger, may we humbly kneel, putting aside perhaps that which we think we know, that which we think we understand, that we might be startled in a new way to receive the gift that is there. Amen. A photojournalist traveled to Sarajevo in the early 1990s, and his job was to photograph the despair and the devastation from the war that was taking place in Sarajevo. So he was out in the streets, and he was photographing this building that had been completely bombed out. And as he was taking pictures, he heard this ear-shattering, piercing sound of a sniper's rifle. And he turned, and just as he turned, he noticed a child no older than 5 or 6 fall to the ground. He quickly ran to where the child was, and when he got to where the child was being cradled by a man, and the man was screaming and crying and weeping and sobbing, and, my child, she's been shot, can you help? Well, the photojournalist went to the alley to where his car was, and when he brought the car to where the man and the child was, he opened the doors and he helped him into the back seat. And the photojournalist rushed as fast as he possibly could to the nearest hospital. And the man in the back seat, cradling this child, pleaded, "Would you hurry, please? Hurry, she's bleeding so badly. My child, she's bleeding." And a little while later, the man said, My child, she's barely breathing." And the man held the child's face to his face and whispered in her ear, "You are loved. You are precious. You are not alone." And when they got to the hospital, the man carried the child into the emergency room, and the nurses came and the doctors came, and they placed the child on a gurney, and they quickly whisked her away. For an hour, the photojournalist and the man paced a trail on the floor of the waiting room for an hour, back and forth, back and forth. Until the doctor came through the doors with that look on his face that you never want to see. The look that says, "We did everything we possibly could, but it was too late." To which point the man turns to the photojournalist and says, "Please take me back. I must find this child's father and tell him at once." And the photojournalist said, "Father, I thought you were the father. You said, my child. To which the man replied, "They're all our children." They're all our children. That is the Spirit that will heal the world. They're all our children. I invite you to take a look at a picture. And I'd like you to look into the eyes of this child. And the caption says, "I'm not afraid that the world may end in 2012. I fear the world will continue without changing anything." Like you, I sat in disbelief, unable to hold back tears, as I heard the news of the shooting in Newtown. I tried to fathom how I would feel if I received news of a shooting in my son's school. And then I realized, for the parents of 20 beautiful, innocent children, that wasn't an exercise in imagination, but an excruciating reality. You know, I lived in Chicago. I found my mind immediately going to children on the west side and the south side of Chicago. In 2011, 700 school children were shot. 66 of them died. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, just recently attended a memorial service for 260 children that died due to gun violence just in the last 3 years. And that's not just Chicago. That's Oakland. That's Los Angeles. That's Washington, D.C. That's Philadelphia. That's every day. They're all our children. I'm not afraid that the world will end in 2012. I'm afraid the world will continue without changing anything. Our president, in a prayer vigil in Newtown, our president said, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing a good enough job in keeping our children, all children, safe from harm? And he said, if we're honest, the answer is no. We're not. And we'll need to change. I mean, violence is an everyday reality across the entire globe. I rarely think of parents of children in Syria who wonder every day whether their children will come back today whole. I think about Afghani parents who send his or her daughter to school knowing that the Taliban threatens to kill girls seeking an education. I think of parents in so many different countries in Africa who fear every day, their daily worry every day is that their children will be kidnapped, that they might become part of a guerrilla army. Boys as young as 10 trained to be killing machines. They're all our children. You know, my fear isn't that the world's going to end in 2012. By the way, the next date is 2016, I was just told yesterday. So we have a little bit of time. Somehow, some parchment with the people on Donner's Pass showed up by 2016, apparently. But we should fear that the world will continue without changing anything. I discovered this week, I should have known this, but I fell asleep in Greek during seminary. But someone shared with me this week that the word used for the birth of Jesus in Greek is Genesis. I didn't know that. Echoing the story of creation. Somehow the mystery of the birth of Jesus is the mystery of God's ongoing work of creation. That somehow the mystery, as we come to the manger, the mystery of the gift of this child, is the gift of a new beginning. Is that the gift we will receive this Christmas? A new beginning? Brothers and sisters, we must engage some conversation to stop the senseless violence that is killing so many innocent lives. We must, as people of faith, we must respond. I was stunned to listen to the head of the NRA suggesting that the solution is more guns. It reminded me of the definition of insanity. You know, when you do the same thing over and over and over again, but you expect a different result? We claim that we live in a Christian nation. Have we forgotten that thinking the solution to violence is more violence couldn't be more at odds with the life and the teachings of Jesus? The one who said to Peter, "Put your sword away. Those who take up a sword will perish by the sword." I couldn't help but think of, as I was watching this, and it was disbelief of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Darkness does not drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Violence does not drive out violence. Only love can do that." We must respond. We must respond outwardly in action. We must respond inwardly in prayer. But as I seek to discern the direction of both of those, it seems perhaps that the first response is to humbly get down on my knees at this manger and contemplate anew God's response to us in the birth of this child, the mystery of this child. You must read, and you must figure out a way to read, and we must get it attached to our website. But the Reverend Jenny Warner is one of the most gifted writers I've ever read. And she writes a blog, if you didn't know that, and she wrote an article on her blog this week that you must read. If it's not on our website, we need to figure out a way to do that, but pathios.com is where you can find it and put in her name. It's always dangerous when you're trying to quote somebody who's sitting right in front of you. But she said, I think, "I need to love the world before I change the world. Transformative power," she wrote, "resides in love, not in domination. I am powerless to love unless love first lives in me. Divine love must be born anew today and tomorrow and every day. Every day that my hands are dirty and my feet are weary on this earth. As I kneel at this manger, I recognize that I am powerless to love unless love first lives in me. And divine love
must be born anew. Today, tomorrow, every day.
I want you to imagine with me that night so many years ago, that night that we remember, that we will gather tomorrow to remember divine love being born and entering into the world. We are told in Scripture so elegantly that there wasn't a place for them. So I want you to imagine this night that was dark as dark can be, with only just a few stars in the sky illumining the way. Joseph stumbling in the darkness up some hillside, because he was pointed in the direction of a cave in the hillside, and he stumbles into the cave. There's straw in the back. There's a shelter in the front. And the time is very close for labor. Some donkey and oxen sway in the shadows. The dirt floor of the cave is thick with dung. Steam rises in the cold night air. The saliva glistens on the manger from the oxen that had just eaten there. It's smelly, dirty. Not a likely place for the Savior, for Christ, for love, for hope, for possibility to be born. But maybe the less likely the better. Because what one of us then could say that our lives are a less probable place for love to be born? There's a child in the back, a runaway child, frightened, trying not to be seen. A child that had run away from the relentless beatings of a stepfather. You know, the stable turns no one away. Mary was about to give birth. This frightened, impoverished, exhausted girl was to endure the most terrifying, mysterious, excruciating experience a woman may know. And right there in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the smell, a child is born. God's love enters the world. And I wonder if that's why this story is so compelling. Because we wonder in our own mess, in our own pain, in our own fear, can it be transformed into something beautiful? Something holy? Mary picks up the child that is screaming its lungs out. And she begins to cry. And Joseph tries to comfort her. And Mary just says, "I want to go home. I want my mom." And after a moment or two, she wipes her tears and says to Joseph, "I'm sorry." And Joseph says, "It's okay." And he means it. And they hold on to each other as they hold on to this child. And every fiber of their being, every muscle in their body hurts from the journey. And they're so hungry. And they're so cold and so lonely. But there the mystery is. That as they hold the child of promise, God is holding them.
The deep, deep, deep abiding truth that is unwrapped in the gift of this child is that God's love is greater than the worst the world can do. And that love is with us, deeply enfleshed with us. And that love seeks to be born today and tomorrow and the next day.
There's a story of this happened, a true story. It took place in Boston in a hospital. Twins were born premature, and they were little and they were fragile and they were so vulnerable. And the protocol of the hospital was to place the twins in the neonatal intensive care unit, to place the twins in two separate bassinets. And they would monitor the vital signs of each child. Well, one of the babies was strong and healthy. And the other baby was weak and failing, and her vital signs began to diminish. And a nurse said, "We're losing her, we're losing her, we need to do something." And this nurse broke all protocol. She picked up this little baby, this tiny little baby that was dying, and she placed this baby in the crib next to her healthy, strong sister. And then the most amazing thing happened. The doctor said they've never seen anything like it. They're amazed. And here's a picture. This is a true story. The baby that was strong took her little arm and wrapped it around the shoulder of the little baby that was dying. And that what happened next was even more amazing. The baby that was dying, her vital signs began to improve until they matched the vital signs of her sister. The doctor said they couldn't explain it. Was it some involuntary twitch? They concluded on the chart, "It's a mystery." May we have more mystery in our life. We come to this manger before we respond. May we kneel at the mystery and receive the gift of love anew. The love that will remind us they're all our children. The love that will change the world. May it be so.